NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, die Band Palace aus London. Und zwei Mitglieder der Band sind dabei, Leo und Rupert. Sie kommen beide gleich zu Wort. Erstmal Musik von ihrem neuen Debütalbum, So Long Forever. Und wir hören jetzt die erste Single von dem Album. Hier ist Break the Silence. Und das war Break the Silence von Palace von ihrem neuen Album, So Long Forever, ihr ganz neues Debütalbum. Bei mir im Studio sind Leo und Rupert von der Band. Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
Thanks. How you doing?
I'm okay. Well, I'm glad you've made it in the end. It was a bit of a rough trip getting here, but you've made it in the end.
We just about made it, yeah. It's been a long day, but we're very glad to be here.
And nice to see you in a cheerful frame of mind, nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Right. So it's been a few years since you started, and the debut album is finally there, and there's been a couple of EPs before it. And it seems to me that when you first started off, you got quite a bit of attention. You didn't seem to need to wait for that attention. That's the impression I got. But does it seem, in hindsight, like you've had a bit of an easy ride in that respect? Do you think you've been lucky in that respect?
I think, to be completely honest, I think we have, really. I think, you know, a lot of other bands kind of have come to us for advice in the past and said, you know, what's the best way of kind of getting out there and what's the best way of doing it? And to be completely honest, we never really had to do that. It kind of all came to us quite early on. We never had to send our songs to labels or anything like that. We were very lucky that we got picked up kind of almost immediately after probably 4 months of being together. We got kind of spotted by a booker, a woman called Claire, and she booked our second ever gig, which was at Bush Hall in London, which is a very big venue. And we supported one of the guys from Smashing Pumpkins as our second ever gig. So I think we have had a pretty easy ride. I'm sure it's not always going to be like that, but it's so far we've been so, so lucky, and we try not to take that for granted because we're in a great position at the moment.
Ich habe den Eindruck gehabt, dass Sie es bisher ziemlich leicht gehabt haben. Es gab zwei EPs und jetzt dieses Album. Und als Sie angefangen haben 2014, irgendwie ging es sofort los, dass man auf Sie aufmerksam geworden sind. Und er hat es auch bestätigt, Leo, er meinte auch, dass die Band hat nicht wirklich viel Zeit gebraucht, bis sie entdeckt worden sind. Die waren nur 4 Monate zusammen. Und dann hat eine Bookerin Claire in England die Band kennengelernt und entdeckt. Und ihr zweites Konzert war in Bush Hall in London, also ein Riesenkonzert im Vorprogramm für Smashing Pumpkins. Und das war natürlich ein idealer Einstieg. Und sie denken schon, dass sie es gut gehabt haben. Und Freunde und andere Musiker von ihnen haben gefragt, wie kommt es eigentlich, dass ihr das so mit Leichtigkeit geschafft habt? Also was können wir machen, um das ähnlich gut zu haben? Und das wissen sie gar nicht. Sie denken nur, dass sie tatsächlich einfach ein bisschen Glück gehabt haben. It's interesting, though, because you haven't wasted much time to have like a shift of emphasis musically, I think, because the album sounds quite a lot different to that first EP, certainly, and also different to the second EP. It sounds to me more, you sound more like a rock band, actually, now than you did, possibly. Was that like a conscious stance to make a bit heavier or to kind of make a bit more dynamic? Or
I think we were looking for more of a dynamic, really. We, on the first EP especially, everything was very kind of calm and gentle listening, and nothing really kind of would explode out at you. I think we just kind of wanted to explore more styles of playing the songs and kind of developing those dynamics and having the ups and downs a bit more. It was just a bit more friendly at the beginning, really.
And it's like that, yeah. And
so you're not as friendly now.
No, we're a bit more aggressive. Yeah. But yeah, as Bruce said, it's just, I think as you kind of get better as musicians and playing with dynamics and stuff has become such a kind of big thing for us, I think. And being able to go all the way and then bring it back and take the audience kind of with you on that kind of journey of kind of emotions through the instruments, that's such a fun thing to experiment with. But I think generally, you know, to us it's very much the same sound, but it's just bigger and there's a little more aggression and energy, and but it's the same kind of guitar sound and that twinkly Palace thing that we kind of love, which is the kind of heart of it all.
Yeah, you certainly sound like the same band. I mean, you're easily recognisable as being the same band. It's just as if you kind of upped it up a gear, really.
I think
needed a bit more presence, maybe.
Definitely.
Ja, ich habe den Eindruck, dass es eine ziemlich große Kluft gibt zwischen den beiden ersten EPs und dem Debütalbum. die neue Musik ist schon rigoroser und dynamischer. Und das haben sie auch bestätigt. Als sie angefangen haben, meinte Rupert, war es sehr sanftmütig und wirklich sehr ruhig und sehr freundlich, meinte, und nicht so explosiv. Und jetzt hatten sie einfach so das Bedürfnis, eine größere Bandbreite abzudecken, stilistisch, um mehr Höhen und Tiefen in der Musik zu haben und einfach so dieses Spiel mit Dynamik zu haben und diese Reise auf sich, auf diese Reise zu begeben von Gefühlen, die sie dann mit dem Publikum teilen. So jetzt hören wir Palace von ihrer zweiten EP von 2015, die EP Chase the Light. Und jetzt das Stück Head Above the Water. Head Above the Water von Palace von der EP Chase the Light 2015. Bei mir im Studio sind Leo und Rupert von der Band. Do you think it's been an advantage in a live situation as well, having these extra dynamics, because it's probably more suitable for a kind of like a rock gig, isn't it, to actually get some sort of spirit going amongst the audience, I would imagine, as well, yeah, giving them more to go on.
I think that's something we've always kind of craved, having that, getting that back from the audience by really being able to give it to them in that sense. And as Ru said, like the early days, the songs were quite, I mean, we love them to bits, but it was for much more kind of monotone in the kind of energy, and to have those tunes that really hit you in the face and get you in the gut and the pumping, and it's so fun to see an audience kind of feed off that and bob their heads and just get into it a bit. It's a great thing, and that's we feed off that, you know, from the crowd massively.
Also Leo meint, dass es tatsächlich eine Veränderung gegeben hat, was so ihre Beziehung zum Publikum betrifft und umgekehrt, weil die neue Musik tatsächlich mehr Energie transportieren kann. Denn es ist tatsächlich so, dass das Publikum also davon beeinflusst und geprägt wird. Und das haben sie sich immer gewünscht eigentlich, dass sie am Publikum wirklich so ein spannendes Konzert anbieten könnte, mit also richtig energiegeladen und dynamisch. Und sie merken es unmittelbar, dass das Publikum ganz anders auf die Band jetzt reagiert, was die neuen Songs betrifft im Vergleich zu früher, wo es natürlich einfach ruhiger und meditativ war. So do you think there's an example on the new album which maybe demonstrates best of all this shift we've been talking about? I mean, it speaks to the album as a whole, but do you think it's a particularly fine example?
I mean, for the straight up kind of the rockier element of it, I think it's probably Break the Silence. It just has that.
I've already heard that.
Yeah.
We started with that. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So I'll have to choose something else.
Okay. Okay. Right.
So we've already heard the best example.
Yeah.
We're the second best example.
Okay,
there.
Second best. Probably.
Have faith.
Yeah.
Have faith, okay. Right.
Yeah. It's got that. It's that same thing from Break the Silence. It's pumping and it's just driving, and it's got that energy behind it. And I think when you hear it, you can't help but kind of tap your toe or bob your head, and it's got that rockier, slightly heavier feel, which is this kind of stuff we grew up on as well, that kind of music. So it's cool to be able to have, that's one where you see the crowd really kind of getting behind the song.
So you're being more true to yourselves now than you were in the early days, in that sense, I suppose.
Maybe.
I think in the early days we were actually quite withheld from doing anything too heavy. I think we kind of shunned it a little bit, but then just realised actually we really enjoy doing that, so we actually start doing it a bit.
Cranking the amps up and you know, ripping endless solos in the studio. I think when you're finding your feet as a band and you're working out your sound, you kind of take kind of tiny steps, and then you get the confidence to go there and to crank it up and not be afraid to play loud and heavy and fill the space. At the start I think it was just that kind of nervousness to do that, but now we're free and free to do that.
Und ich habe sie auch gefragt, ob sie mir nicht ein Beispiel nennen könnten von einem Stück, das ganz besonders die neue Attitüde ganz gut verkörpert. Und ja, Rupert meinte Break the Silence, aber gerade das Stück haben wir gehört. Also haben wir das zweitbeste Beispiel dafür gleich, und zwar Have Faith. Meinte es ähnlich so mit rockigem Gefühl. Sie sagen, dass sie im Nachhinein tatsächlich vielleicht ganz am Anfang ihrer Karriere sich nicht so besonders treu waren, weil sie zu nervös waren und eigentlich das zu machen, was sie wirklich machen wollten. Die waren einfach besonders vorsichtig. Und jetzt natürlich sind sie jetzt als Musiker kompetenter geworden und selbstbewusster und haben das Gefühl, die können eher das machen, was sie wirklich wollen. Und das werden sie auch schaffen. Am Anfang hat man also seine ersten so Babyschritte, und nachher dann ist man eher in der Lage, wirklich das zu tun, was man tun will. Und allmählich haben sie das Gefühl, das wirklich umzusetzen, was sie machen, wirklich umsetzen wollen. Und das hören wir jetzt. Also Have Faith von dem Album So Long Forever von Palace. So, das war Have Faith von dem neuen Debütalbum So Long Forever von Palace aus London. Bei mir im Studio sind Leo und Rupert von der Band. It's interesting because you're obviously quite prolific as songwriters. That's the impression I get, because looking back to these two EPs, I think there's only one song which has actually appeared on the album. A lot of bands, almost like the two first EPs, basically on all the albums, they're like three or four new songs often. In this case, you had the two EPs, and then only Bitter you remixed, didn't you? Or remastered,
yeah. We recorded, actually.
You actually re-recorded it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It is a different version, isn't it?
Yeah.
The production's quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely. So, was that a deliberate stance to make a real fresh start and to say, well, not, we won't fall back on these early songs, and let's really make a proper classic debut album which has nothing to do with songs from our youth or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think it was, really. I think we wanted to be brave enough and kind of ballsy enough to start with, you know, give new songs to the fans. And I think that's always something we've looked at, other bands doing that, when you combine, you know, all the old songs and essentially you're not getting anything new. And we wanted to be able to give the fans new music to kind of cling on to, and so we write a lot of songs, so we quickly kind of move on to the next song, so it felt right to go with the new stuff. And I think Bitter was just the one to kind of
tied it all together, quite honestly, I think.
Yeah.
Was it because you were unhappy with the original production, or not necessarily?
Maybe a little bit. To be completely honest, we really don't like that original one. We listen to the old recordings and we hear us, you know, as musicians back then, and you notice mistakes, and I don't like my singing, and it's all scrappy and messy. But it's, you know, it's great in a way, those recordings, but it's nice to be able to, like, start afresh with that song and have a version where we don't mess up every 5 seconds and I go out of tune and
Well, that never happens anymore now.
Never. It happens way more than it probably should, to be honest. I try not to go out of tune.
Ja, ich sagte, dass das Debütalbum aus fast komplett neuen Songs besteht, bis auf ein Stück Bitter, das auch auf der Debüt-EP erschien, allerdings in anderer Form. Und Leo hat auch bestätigt, dass das ganz absichtlich war. Die wollten nicht auf die alten EPs zurückgreifen für das Debütalbum. Oft ist es nämlich so, dass Bands, wenn sie ihre erste Platte veröffentlichen, sind viele Songs von den ersten EPs drauf. Und das wollten sie meinen. Sie haben gedacht, die wollen ihre Fans wirklich was ganz Neues geben, weil die alten EPs sind von den richtigen Fans längst richtig verdaut worden, konsumiert worden. Und Bitter war die einzige Ausnahme, weil sie mit der Originalversion unzufrieden waren, weil es war so fehlerhaft in jeglicher Hinsicht und musikalisch und auch von dem Gesang her. Und deshalb haben sie das Bedürfnis, das Stück nochmal zu produzieren. Deshalb ist es auch die Ausnahme, die die Regel bestätigt. Und sie meinen, es ist ein Vorteil eben, dass sie jetzt ein bisschen älter sind und dass sie mehr Übung haben, dass sie tatsächlich nicht mehr so viele Fehler machen. Und Leo meinte, er vergreift sich nicht mehr so viel wie früher und es ist alles ein bisschen, ja, musikalisch kompetenter und fließender. I'm actually really obviously painfully aware of how you were less professional in the early days. I mean, or is that something which you just think is just, you're not painfully aware of it because you think it's just a normal process just growing up? Because you do a little bit of growing up in public and then you move on to be really professional. Is that what it feels like?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm definitely having to step it up a bit now.
Feeling the need to kind of, I think it kind of just happens naturally, and you, the chemistry within the band just gets better, and you feed off that, and you just get better as musicians. Like at the beginning, Matt had never been in a band, our drummer, and I think I'd been in maybe one band, terrible band at school, and so that was kind of a new thing. So we were starting from nothing really. And we're pretty inexperienced, but so you are feeling your way, but as you get better and better, I think you become more kind of critical of your performances and all that kind of thing. So yeah, there isn't certain need to step it up a bit, I think.
And also the kind of music you make, I think it demands a certain level of competence, doesn't it? Because you can't hide yourself behind like pedals, and you're not making shoegaze, you know what I mean? You're exposing yourself in a way, because it's kind of like real proper songwriting.
Yeah.
In the classic sense. You're going to be judged on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I think it, absolutely. And it, you're right, our music really does, I think it requires total kind of accuracy in the playing and and really being on it, because the guitar parts are very intricate and often harmonised. We do these things, and if you mess it up, it sounds horrific. so we have to, and it has to be played in that, in a really kind of beautiful way. That's that, that's how the sound has to be. It can't be scrappy and messy. It has to be accurate and spot on. Otherwise, you don't get the desired effect. Really,
yeah, it's interesting. Do you actually feel that one of your aims is to make kind of beautiful music? I mean, it sounds like almost like a kitsch thing to say, you know, but is that like unconsciously maybe an aim of yours? I mean, there are other bands that are out to just make music which is particularly full of energy or particularly angry or whatever, or particularly romantic or sentimental. But in your case, I get the impression that maybe just the aesthetics of beauty is like maybe first and foremost in your minds, actually trying to transcend just normal everyday life, which is not so beautiful half the time, you know what I mean?
I think so. I think we like definitely like to make music sound beautiful. I think it's something that really appeals to us as writers and a band, really, just to get that. Because we always use the word like ethereal to describe what we're trying to get out of our music. And I think ethereal and beauty, they kind of go quite hand in hand. And it's, you know, you want to get immersed in the sound and kind of find the beauty with it.
It's funny because we never think, you know, we never kind of think about when that's the beauty, is it beauty, something beautiful as a kind of starting point, but it does kind of make sense in a way that that's like, that is kind of what we want to achieve, really, in the kind of playing and that combined with kind of quite romantic sounding playing, I think. But yeah, it's definitely, that's quite a kind of starting point, I guess, subconsciously.
Ja, Sie meinen, dass wenn es dann um die Musikalität Ihrer Band geht, dann merken Sie schon eine riesige Kluft, also wie es früher war am Anfang und wie Sie jetzt sind, wie Sie jetzt viel besser geworden sind als Musiker. Und Sie meinen, es ist auch notwendig, auch gerade bei solcher Musik, dass es besonders akkurat und ganz präzise gespielt wird, weil Sie können sich nicht verstecken hinter Verzerrung, Gitarrenverzerrung, oder Sie verwenden nicht irgendwelche Gitarrenpedale, die das dann alles irgendwie verbergen, wenn sie irgendwie nicht richtig spielen. Im Gegenteil, also die Gitarrenparts sind oft wirklich sehr komplex und die Harmonien auch. Und wenn das nicht hundertprozentig perfekt umgesetzt wird, dann klingt es ganz furchtbar. Und dann ist es richtig peinlich. Und sie sagen auch, dass es schon ihr Ziel ist, eigentlich so eine gewisse Schönheit anzustreben im ästhetischen Sinne. Es gibt natürlich Bands, die andere Ziele haben. Die wollen besonders sonic sein oder besonders energiegeladen, aber es ist ihre Absicht, das ist ihre Motivation, eigentlich so Schönheit anzustreben. Und sie verwenden den Begriff sphärisch auch ganz gerne, so ethereal, weil sie wollen schon eine besondere Atmosphäre aufbauen und sich irgendwie vertiefen, stimmungsmäßig. Und es hat natürlich eine romantische Ader, aber dieser Oberbegriff Schönheit ist für sie besonders wichtig. Right, we're going to hear the song Bitter we spoke about, because it's still one of my favourite songs of yours. So, and I did actually like the original version as well. So, but I like the new version as well. So I'm not sure whether I can choose between the two, but you tried to persuade me now to only really like the second version, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's what we're trying to do with everyone.
Okay. So wir hören jetzt die neue Version von Bitter von dem Album So Long Forever von Palace. So das war Bitter von So Long Forever von dem Album Palace, und Leo und Rupert von der Band sind immer noch bei mir in Studio. The vocals are obviously a very important component of what you do as well. We spoke about the intricate guitar parts and harmonies and stuff. And the actual vocal, I mean, it's so important that you've got the right voice for that kind of music. And is that something that's just basically just innate in you that you never had to really work at? Or is it something you've had to cultivate as a craft?
I mean, to be honest, it's not really. I mean, I haven't done kind of lots of singing lessons or anything like that. Again, it was just, and before the band, I'd never ever sung in front of anyone ever, really. I just hadn't done it. So I went into the studio, was constantly singing in front of these guys, quite red in the face. And
so you went to choir boy?
Yeah, never. I always felt very self-conscious doing it and singing in front of people, but kind of secretly wrote songs for myself. And
well, that's a football scarf, isn't it? You probably sang in the stands, did you?
Exactly. I have my football Brighton Hove Albion scarf on,
okay.
Chanting seagulls.
But that's the only kind of real experience you had?
Pretty much, yeah. It was the first time doing it with Palace, and these guys always kind of gave me confidence and made me feel like I could kind of do it, and just kind of went from there, really, and very much just feeling my way through it. to the point now where I can feel very comfortable to do it. But it took a long time. I mean, for a year and a half, I was terrified just kind of singing on stage in front of people.
Well, again, the same applies, that you can't just sort of get to the microphone and just start screaming. I mean, you've got to actually adjust your vocals to each song, haven't you? Which, you know, they differ so much as well, so you have to be very kind of cautious, meticulous in the way you would sing, I would imagine.
Absolutely, you know? Yeah, absolutely, and kind of fit the vibe of the song. And I mean, I'd never sung and played the guitar at the same time as well, so just trying to do that in gigs, realising I couldn't really do it was quite kind of terrifying. But yeah, these guys, as I said, just always given me confidence with it, and now I'm at the point where I feel kind of good about it. But no choir singing or that kind of thing, really, no.
Leo sagt, dass nie richtig Gesangsunterricht gehabt hat, und er war nie ein Chorknabe, und hatte vorher auch nie Erfahrung als Sänger gehabt, bevor mit dieser Band angefangen hat. Und war sehr nervös eigentlich, als es losging, weil nie vor einem Publikum tatsächlich gesungen hat. Höchstens als Fußballfan, hat so einen Fußballschal mit von Brighton and Hove Albion. Und so hat im Stadion gesungen, aber nie richtig als Sänger gesungen. Und sagt, es war natürlich schon, war ziemlich verunsichert am Anfang. Aber die Jungs in der Band haben dafür gesorgt, dass er sich sehr schnell wohlfühlen konnte. Und er merkte schon sehr schnell, dass die Stimme passt. Er muss natürlich immer sehr vorsichtig sein, wie er singt, weil die Songs so liebevoll konstruiert sind. Er kann nicht irgendwie beliebig singen. Es muss immer sehr genau passen zu der Stimmung, und auf unterschiedliche Weise muss er seine Darbietung natürlich, er muss sich anpassen dementsprechend. Aber es ist allmählich einfach so ein Lernprozess, so wie alles andere auch, so wie Musiker sein. Und er fühlt sich dann irgendwie ganz wohl in der Rolle. And you sound so confident as a singer now. I can't imagine that having been a time where you weren't like that, that you were nervous. So I mean, you've just grown into that role really quickly, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was absolutely terrified. And as I said, I wrote songs for myself and too scared to ever show them to anyone. And one day I think my brother secretly kind of went on my laptop and listened to one, and kind of I posted it on his band's page. And all these people kind of said, wow, that's great. Who knew you could sing? And I didn't know I could sing at all, really. And it, but it was, you know, it's very raw and probably pretty dodgy, but maybe there was something there to kind of work with and
potential to build.
Yeah, I think so. I'm always, I mean, there's lots of work to do. I mean, I still sing out of tune, you know, in gigs and do all that kind of thing. And keen to do kind of singing lessons just to kind of get better and better. But I love it now. I absolutely love singing. It comes much more naturally.
Ja, als er das erste Mal überhaupt gesungen hat, war nur für sich selbst auf dem Laptop, und sein Bruder hat es gehört, und der Bruder hat eine Band gehabt, und die waren alle der Meinung, dass es eigentlich ganz gut war, sein Gesang, und er war selber überrascht, dass es einigermaßen gut war. Es war so ein bisschen rau noch und ungeschliffen, aber es war so ein Potenzial, das er schon hatte, und er hat es geschafft, dieses Potenzial effektiv aufzubauen und auszubauen. Und er meinte, er möchte schon irgendwann Gesangsunterricht haben, weil er hat schon das Bedürfnis, eigentlich immer besser zu werden. And when it comes down to lyrics, do you write all the lyrics yourself?
Yeah, I do.
Because, I mean, I get the impression, I'm not saying it's like a concept album as such, but it seems like, well, to be a sort of a, there seems to be kind of like some basic message to it. It seems to be like some songs of departure, the impression I get.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a kind of big thing, really. I think, without meaning it to be, I think it has become a kind of, not straight up kind of concept album, but we realize that the kind of overlying theme is kind of loss and moving on from things and departure, and which is why the name So Long Forever, the song, was just the perfect title for it. It kind of encapsulates all the album tracks very nicely. I mean lots of the other songs are about kind of love and death and things like that, but most of the songs have an element of kind of loss and dealing with that in whatever kind of form that might be in. It's a very kind of, very personal kind of personal message on it, really.
Okay. Mm. Without being specific as such, or is it?
Well, some of it's kind of quite kind of cryptic, but yeah, all the lyrics in it are very personal to me, and kind of experiences that I've been through in the last kind of couple of years. And it's just been a kind of busy year in that sense. Lots has happened in kind of my life that I could pluck from to write, you know, write the lyrics. And it's those kind of experiences and the things you go through which help you get to that place where you can write a song.
Ja, das Album heißt nicht ohne Grund So Long Forever. so Auf Wiedersehen für immer, im Grunde genommen heißt das auf Deutsch übersetzt. Und er meinte, das hat schon seinen Sinn, dass es so heißt, weil also viele der Songs haben so einen roten Faden. Sie handeln von Verlust und Songs von Abschied, Abschied nehmen. Und teilweise sind sie gar nicht so spezifisch, also eher ein bisschen so rätselhaft ausgedrückt und ein bisschen verschlüsselt. Aber letztendlich sind es schon alle wahrhaftige Songs, die von seinem Leben handeln. Und er hat schon einiges mitgemacht und durchgemacht in den letzten paar Jahren. Und was das Thema Verlust betrifft und Abschied nehmen betrifft. Und er denkt, dass er hat in den letzten paar Jahren genügend Stoff gehabt, beziehungsweise genug erlebt, um Stoff zu haben dann, um diese Songs auf wahrhaftige Weise zu füllen, auf jeden Fall. So should we hear the title track maybe now, So Long Forever, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, we love that one too. So yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, in a sense, I can imagine it almost sounds like how you might sound in a couple of years. I get the impression I get. It sounds like that's the way it's moving. That's the impression I get. But I don't know, do I? That's just pure supposition on my part.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we wrote that song a fair while ago now, but it was definitely when we finished it. I think everyone was very much of the same feeling that we really like the direction it's going, because it's, you know, it's up tempo and it's quite then half time, and then the outro is very driven as well, and it was just kind of, it felt very natural, that song, actually, to us. I think when it was done, we loved it from the get-go, really.
Yeah, we loved that tune.
So, wir hören jetzt mein Lieblingslied von dem Album, und ich habe das so verstanden, dass es eigentlich auch ihr Lieblingslied ist, das Titelstück, So Long Forever. Und Rupert meinte, als es entstanden ist, dann haben sie das Gefühl gehabt, es war ein sehr natürlicher Prozess, wie es entstanden ist. Also war es mühelos. Und es tatsächlich, es ist wieder so ein Beispiel von einem Song, das ziemlich so up-tempo ist, also ziemlich so dynamisch, also nicht langsam und nicht ruhig, sondern eher so, dass die Richtung, die sie eigentlich auch in der Zukunft einschlagen wollen. Und das ist ein ganz gutes Beispiel dafür. Und sie sind alle ganz glücklich mit diesem Stück. Die mögen es sehr gerne. Und das hören wir jetzt. Also So Long Forever, das Titelstück von dem Album von Palace. So das war So Long Forever von Palace, von ihrem neuen Debütalbum. Und es heißt auch So Long Forever. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Leo und Rupert. So we're running out of time, so I better speed things up a little bit. But the cover of the album, I think, is interesting as well. It looks like a religious cover of some sort, but I don't get any kind of message from the lyrics that you're born again Christians or that you're Buddhists or anything like that.
No.
You're not overtly religious, but there must be a sort of symbolism behind that cover, I would imagine.
Yeah, the painting is done by my brother Wilby. He's an amazing artist, and he's done both the paintings on our EPs, and then he did the album covers, and it's a huge painting. It's kind of 2 meters by 2 meters, but it doesn't come from a place of kind of religion or anything like that, but I think it has a kind of certain kind of spiritual sense to it. There's something you get from it that does feel quite kind of spiritual, and that's I think that works nicely with the music. That
I was going to say, it applies to your music as well, doesn't it?
I think it does. I think there's a
it's inward looking
and we're not kind of religious guys at all, really, but it has that sense of like spiritual life, and that's in the music, and it just fits that kind of, it's got that abstract kind of colourful ethereal thing, and we're, yeah, he's been amazing for us. He's given us just such a kind of beautiful aesthetic to work with, and people are so drawn to the artwork, so it's such a cool thing to have people coming up to us after shows and asking us about the artwork, and to have that kind of level of interest for that as well as the music is a really cool thing.
Yeah, because just not running the mill, is it? It does actually catches your attention, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Something out of the ordinary, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're absolutely so proud of that side of it. To be able to have that and have that to our name is really cool.
Right. And who knows, maybe we'll get more and more spiritual and religious as the years go on.
Who knows?
Just by sheer necessity, just be able to survive being in a band for so long. Probably.
Exactly. We're going to have to find God. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ja, Sie sagen, dass das Cover ist von dem Bruder von Leo entstanden, Wilby. Er ist ein Maler, ein Künstler. Und es hat so eine gewisse Religiosität, obwohl die Band gar nicht spirituell ist in dem Sinne. Die sind keine religiösen Typen in dem engen Sinne. Aber es zeigt einfach so Menschen in einer betenden Haltung. Und sie fanden es sehr inspirierend, eigentlich, dieses Albumcover. Und hat auch die Covers für die beiden EPs auch gemalt. Und die sind auch ganz froh, dass er so hilfsbereit gewesen ist, weil auch bei Fans bei den Konzerten, sie kommen auf die Band zu und sie sprechen sie drauf an. Und das macht natürlich die Band interessanter, wenn man so ein spannendes Cover hat. Dann wird man natürlich auf die Musik aufmerksam. Man möchte die Musik kennenlernen. Und ich sagte, dass sie vielleicht irgendwann doch ein bisschen religiös werden müssen, zwangsläufig, um überhaupt jetzt den ganzen Stress ihres Lebens zu überstehen, wenn sie lange genug dabei sind. Right, well, thanks very much for coming down to talk to me. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's been really nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming down, despite all the stress I get to here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And what would you like to hear to finish off, then? It's your choice.
Oh.
Something we haven't heard yet, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't say Break the Silence again.
Yeah, Break the Silence remix.
What could it be? Live Well?
Yeah.
Bit of cool brightness in the...
Something okay. Jolly to end it with.
Yeah. Okay, so hi to the Abschluss jetzt. Hören wir jetzt Live Well for the album So Long Forever from Palace. Okay, thanks a lot.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.